Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At CME, many of their team members are certified financial counselors trained to help you budget smarter, tackle debt, and build a plan for your financial goals. They offer free, confidential support exclusively for CME members with real-world guidance. So whether you're starting from scratch or need a plan for a specific financial journey, CME certified financial counselors are here to help. No judgment, just support. Let's move forward together. Terms and conditions apply. Federally insured by NCUA. Visit CMEFCU.org. For additional details.
Welcome to the Barnyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Monday edition of Yard, actually Sunday evening, I just wanted to go ahead and get a head start because it feels so good to win. It does. No matter the circumstances, no matter the opponent, no matter the location, no matter the sport, it feels so good to win as Mississippi State folks. I shared with you guys kind of throughout the summer. And you never know for sure. But we had a lot of our fans that were kind of scared of ghosts out here. And what I mean by that is I think some people, because number one, they love it so much. They love Mississippi State so much. And they want Mississippi State to win. They want Mississippi State to achieve great things. And you get a little PTSD when that doesn't happen. It's like, hey, man, we were so excited about hiring Jeff Lappy. And, you know, some crazy things happened last year. And we went 2-10 and the football season was more endured than enjoyed. And so, you know, that impacts people. You get a little shell-shocked. And you don't always see things for what they truly are. You kind of see them for what you fear they are. And I think we had a lot of our fans doing that. I mean, I read all summer. I mean, like, I would go on the Bo Bounds show and I would say, hey, most important game of the year, I think, is Arizona State. Oh, no, Steve. Southern Miss, most important game of the year. It's the first one. I was like, well, yeah, but I expect to win that one handily. You're like, oh, no, it's going to be a close game. It's going to be closer than you think. And we even had some walk-on media types trying to suggest that too. But the reality of it is, in all due respect to Southern Miss, I think Charles Huff's going to do well there. Okay, let's go ahead and get that established. I have said that multiple times over the course of the last 2 weeks. I think Charles Huff's going to do good there. And quite frankly, I'm surprised he didn't get more power for interest as a head coach during his time at Marshall. So he leaves the Sun Belt Conference championship team for the only team in the league that didn't win a game. Now listen, I love Hattiesburg. I do. I love going to eat at Robert St. John's places up there. I love good awards. I do. Love being able to go out there and see my friends at Rebos and you know, the Rule 62 group. I love it. I love Hattiesburg. I've lived there twice. I've chose to live there twice. But nobody's going to pick that job just because of the great city Hattiesburg is. I mean, it's just not how it works, right? So basically, Southern Miss kind of got the benefit of a very unusual situation. And I think Charles Huff's going to do good there. I don't know how long he stays there. I mean, I think if he wins big, I mean, he's probably going to get an opportunity somewhere. But the reality of it is, Jeremy and those guys got a great hire. Now, they need to do some things with that facility. They do. Now, and I don't mean add seats and amenities and things like that. They got to clean that place up. They do. I think when you go out and you encourage people to give, and you got the Duff family out there giving you money to build other things, and you got a new coach. You got to get a couple of guys out there with some pressure washers, and you got to clean that stadium. You do. I think your fans deserve that. I think it sends a very dangerous message when it's like, hey, give, 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 but we can't afford to have a couple of guys come out of here and spend a week and pressure wash the stadium. I mean, if you walked around the concourse up there, you kind of saw what I'm talking about. If you were at the game, you kind of saw what I was talking about. They've kind of let that place get a little bit outdated. But also, too, you don't have to have a $100 million budget to keep things clean. And it wasn't clean. It's the first game of the year. And you got to get that done. I mean, you got to show pride in what you do, period. But we won the ball game. And listen, my wife's an alum from Southern Miss. My mom's an alum from Southern Miss. My grandmother is a Southern Miss alum. So, you know, I feel like that, you know, hey, I'm within my license to say these things. I think in order to get people excited, you got to put a little effort involved in it. You do. You got to put your best foot forward. We talk about that in the retail industry, the first 20 feet, right? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. When you're trying to get people to come to games, you got to give them a clean stadium, and you got to make sure the place is prepared for their arrival, period. I mean, if I'm going to fuss about our place, I'm going to fuss about that too. I mean, that's just – and that's out of love, right? That's not me being critical of Southern Miss, even though it comes across that way. That's just kind of a helpful hint. You got to get that done. You have to get that done. And there's no excuse when you've had all summer to get that done. Your kids weren't in school. There wasn't a lot of activity on campus. You can't tell me they couldn't have cleaned that stadium. That thing should have been absolute spick and span for that first game of the Charles Huff era. That's disappointing to me on behalf of those fans. And I got some friends and some family that absolutely love Southern Miss. They don't root for State or Ole Miss. It is Southern Miss all the time. They deserve better, okay? Now, all that understood, we went there and took care of business. We're going to break down the game. I know many of you watched it or listened to it. I got some people that hit me up and like, Steve, what'd you think? I didn't get a chance to watch. I was working, you know. I get all that. So I'm going to provide some insight. We're going to go through the game, but I'm going to give you some things that I kind of charted down to kind of share you some good, bad, right? I mean, there's some good things that happen. There's some bad things that happen. And one thing, I'll give Joe Moorhead some credit. There was one thing that he said that made a lot of sense to me. And no, it's not. We're going to point the thumb rather than the finger. That I think that's kind of hokey, to be honest with you. A little cringe, as the kids would say. But we should never accept in victory what we wouldn't be willing to accept in defeat. Right? That's the thing. I think that is a very profound way to look at the improvement of an organization. Just because we won doesn't mean we did everything right. And if we're going to continue to stay where we are and continue to build upon it, we've got to make sure that we're honest with ourselves about some things we didn't do well. Okay? Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I will have Bulldog Burger Company for lunch on Monday. That's the plan, right? That's the plan. Excited about that. I do. And one of the biggest decisions I have to make in life, it's not just what I'm going to pick off the Bulldog Burger Company menu. It's really which one of the Eat With Us restaurants I want to eat at. There's a lot, I mean, I love them. My favorite restaurants are pretty much all owned by the same company here in the greater Golden Triangle area. You got Harvey's, The Grill, you know, Sweet Pepper's Deli, of course, and Bulldog Burger Company. And we love Bulldog Burger Company because it's a family event, right? I mean, there is something on that menu for everybody in your family. Let's say you're eating a little bit greener these days. You get that BLT salad. I like it with grilled chicken. You may like it fried. It's completely up to you. I'm from South Mississippi, as you guys know. We didn't know what grilled chicken was until we got north to Jackson. Just kind of how things work. But I guess you Madison folks kind of understand what I'm talking about. But the reason you go there is because somebody wants a burger. Best burger in the area, without any question. And there's so many great ones to choose from, right? Get the Pimentology, add bacon. That will put some hair on your chest. It'll also fill you up because I don't just eat for survival. I eat for enjoyment, and you should too, right? If we got to go sit down and eat and put our feet on somebody's table, let's get something we enjoy. There are so many things that I enjoy at Bulldog Burger Company. I suspect that's the same for you. So if you're in town or on the way to town, be sure and stop at one of their three great locations, University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Let's just jump right into this thing. As Kelly in Media Relations pointed out to us, Mississippi State has received the opening kickoff 17 straight games. Now, if we win the toss, we choose to receive. And more times than not, other people want to defer. I'm a defer guy, you know, unless I'm one of these guys, you're kind of worried about the weather a little bit, you know. You know rain is coming. You want to kind of get a clean and dry field and do the best you can. But more times than not, I like to go on defense and then hope to win the half and have the ball coming out. That's my philosophy. I'm not a Division I head coach. Jeff Lebby clearly wants the ball first to kind of set the tone. So So here we go. Let's get it going here. First drive of the season, a good one for Mississippi State. Blake Chapin gets flushed and runs ahead for 3 yards. I don't know if I want Blake running a whole lot, but he runs back-to-back plays here. Second, seven, the same situation. On third and four, we get it out to Seydoux. Really nice catch here for 12. Nice throw from Blake, too. We go back to Booth for two. Brings up a second, and we try to get it out to Brennan Thompson, who I thought was very impressive in his Bulldog debut. We'll get to him a little bit more. But, yeah, watching him run in the open field against an actual opponent gives me a lot of optimism. Okay, third and eight. We get it to Seydoux for a touchdown. Third and eight play, double move, and he was so wide open, I wondered if he might fall down. You know, and gets behind the safety. There's absolutely no chance to catch an athlete with that type of ability when you're a safety, especially on the dead run. When you get beat that bad on a double move, you're just kind of hoping somebody else from over the top can make a play for you. Ferry, extra point, good. Great game for Kyle Ferry, too. More about him to come, too. But it's 7-0, 1 minute and 25 seconds into the game. And so now you're thinking, hey, we need the defense to go out here and get a stop for us. Well, we do, but the challenge with all of this, and I think this is something that some of our people that love Mississippi State sometimes lose sight of. Okay, this is not the same Southern Miss team as last year. Not the same staff, not the same schemes. You don't really know what they're going to do, right? Blake Anderson wasn't with them at Marshall. You know, Blake was at Utah State 2 years ago. Blake's a guy that's had some great success at Southern Miss and put together a great career and is a great guy, truly is. One of the great guys. Matter of fact, after the game was over, he was out talking to fans out on the concourse and really think a lot of him. But you never know what they've cooked up because they've seen you play defense. They may not know all your personnel, but they have seen what you did last year. You may put some new wrinkles in. But there was an advantage to Southern Miss in that respect because they had more of the element of surprise. So first drive here, and it helps when you can kick it in the end zone. But we get a touchback there, and then they get it out to Chester. We knew that he was going to be one of their primary receivers. They get 9 yards there. Jeffrey Pittman, you knew that he would be fired up to play against us. He was. He runs for 3 yards, makes it a first down. Braxton gets it out to Jeffrey Pittman, cut down after just a one-yard gain. Brandon Jennings and Nick Mitchell combine on a tackle there. Second nine back to Pittman for six, and on third and three they give it to him, and he gets 4 yards. I mean, it's clear pretty early on they want to get him going, and they should. He's their top running back. Matt Jones comes in to give Pitt a bit of a breather, and he runs at the middle for 4 yards. I didn't think any of these Southern Miss running backs outside of Pittman really had much of a day to really kind of talk about. Matt Jones runs off the left side. Malik Sela, the transfer from A&M, made a great play here for State for no gain. On third and six, Braxton runs off the left side and out of bounds. And there were a lot of people, the Southern Miss media, were complaining about the spot. I thought it was a favorable spot. Now, granted, my emotions weren't in him moving the chains. But he's out of bounds well before he passes the chains and ends up being a fourth and three. And then they're going to go for it. They don't. They don't go for it. They end up taking a delay game penalty. They punt. And fair catch by Ant Evans there at the State 6. And so now you're thinking, okay, we got 94 yards to go. We get it out to Brennan Thompson for 4 yards and then get it to Fluff. Now it's third and four. And Chapin, I couldn't tell if this was a designed quarterback run. I actually think it was. But he gets 5 yards. We're like, okay, now we're kind of out of the shadow of our own goalpost. And then Blake kind of forces one here to Seydoux. Kind of throws it behind him. And both of them are at fault. Now, Blake throws it. And there's three people here. One person made a good play. Two people didn't. Blake made the worst play. Seydoux didn't fight for the football either. Michael Montgomery, the transfer from Portland State, makes a very nice and athletic play there at the State 26. Gives them an opportunity to kind of get back in this thing. Well, offensively, not much happened here at all. They take a shot left, and Mandiego Bramfield breaks it up. Second team, they decide, hey, we'll go across the middle to Jeff Pittman. It's cut down. Zachary Tillman, Nick Mitchell, really nice play there. Zachary's going to be a dude for us. Third and nine, they take a shot to Micah Davis, former Ole Miss receiver, and Kelly Jones breaks it up. So both of your Bulldog starting corners are tested on fade routes on this possession, and both of them come up and make a play. Told you guys last week I didn't think the corners were nearly as bad as some people were suggesting. Reed Harradine makes the field goal. Southern Miss is on the board, but again, you get the interception. But great job by the Bulldog defense here to only surrender 1 yard and make two nice PBUs here to force the field goal attempt. But it's 7-3. State gets that field goal right back. And I really thought we mismanaged this drive, okay? We talked about, you know, we're going to talk about the good and the bad. We mismanaged this drive, okay? We come out, we get out to Ricky Johnson, who gets a couple yards, and then it's incomplete to Aiden Williams, and they ruled that as an incompletion. It was really a drop. And then Southern Miss gets penalized for having 12 men on the field, as they should. Can't play football that way. That's not how it works. On 3rd and 3, we give it to Booth. He's off the right side, kind of really off right guard for 7. First down. We go back to Booth. He gets 14. Back to him again for 16. So on 3 consecutive plays here, we get a combined 37 yards and 3 first downs. They end up having to call timeout because, you know, they're gassed. And it's early, but they're gassed. And then all of a sudden, even though the run was working so methodically, and we kind of had – offensive line was kind of teeing off a little bit here. And we decide – I thought we got a little cute with the play calling, okay? We get it out to Anthony Evans for 6, and then that comes back because of a holding on Jordan Mosley. And it was the right call. Makes it 1st and 14. We get it out to Mosley for 3. Run out of bounds. 2nd and 11. We're trying to feed Ant here. We get it out to him on the left side. He has to fight back to the line of scrimmage. And now it's 3rd and 11. And then we go across the middle to Fluff for 25 yards. However, we're flagged for illegal formation. And those are some operational things we got to clean up. We had way too many pre-snap penalties, and those illegal formations just can't happen. All right, so now it's 3rd and 16. And Chapin just kind of runs to get back to the line of scrimmage. They initially ruled it a sack, but they changed it. 4th and 16, because we have a weapon in Kyle Ferry. He makes a school record long 55-yard field goal. Impressive. So even though, again, we're just running down the field. We're at their 31, and then next thing you know, we end up kicking from the 37. So even after, again, just methodically running the football down the field, we got a little cute, trying to run perimeter game, and it didn't work, and we end up having to kick a 55-yard field goal. And thank God we make it. It's 10-3. Last drive of the first quarter, Southern Miss puts together a sustained drive here. They mix it up a little bit, but a lot of it came on a run. Briggs, the guy, the speedster from Utah State, coming off the broken leg, up the middle for 2. Ashon Shepard made a tackle there. And then next thing you know, they get it out to Jalen Carter for 4, makes it a manageable 3rd and 4. And then we've kind of got it covered up, but then Braxton just kind of takes off and run. And when you're an athlete like him, that's kind of how it works out. I think he is who we thought he was. And I think he'll be really good in that league. But the arm is not at all what I think most of them thought it was. But he is a very skilled athlete that can work through his reads and kind of improvise when things go wrong. So I think he'll do well for them. 1st and 10, Jeffrey Pittman is hit for a 2-yard loss. Will Whitson just absolutely blows up the play. 2nd and 12, it's complete to Caden Morris for 10 yards, which makes it a manageable 3rd and 2. They give it to Pitt, and he barely gets it, but he got it. I mean, it was just basically kind of the nose of the football there, but he gets a 1st down. 1st and 10, Briggs up the middle for nothing. 2nd and 10, incomplete out to Kyron Heath, their tight end, broken up by Tanner Johnson, who had a really good game. Nobody's really talked about him. Good game for him. And then 3rd and 10, final play of the quarter, they get it out to Carl Chester for 9 yards, which makes it an interesting decision. And so that gets you through your first quarter of play. Let's jump on over to the second quarter. And on 4th down, here, they decide to run Braylon Braxton, and State stacks it up. Jarray Bledsoe and Isaac Smith on the tackle there. You may remember there was some of these walk-on media guys or whatever. Like, there was one play from practice that got out where Fluff ran through somebody in practice, and then people were like, oh, I'm just so worried about the Mississippi State defensive line. That was Jarray Bledsoe they were kind of victimizing there, and here he is making a big play. And again, beware the walk-on media types with their hot takes with a snapshot of something they never really attend or cover. Okay, this is...
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
That's where I thought we kind of had a little bit of the malaise. You know, we had that drive where we didn't manage it well, but we still got a field goal out of it. Well, here we go. We get the big snap, right? We get the big play. We stop them. We even get the sideline warning because everybody is jacked because the hero has fallen, right? They've built Braylon Braxton up. He is the Sun Belt preseason player of the year. And on a big possession play, State's able to get him, right? I mean, that's, you know, that's a big swing in momentum. And then this maroon malaise kind of takes over at M.M. Roberts, right? We get it out to Xavier Gayton for a 4-yard loss, just kind of a little push pass there. Second and 14 now, we get it out to Johnny Daniels, who runs extremely hard. 4 yards for him, gets back to the original line of scrimmage. In third and 10, we try to get it out to X, and it's incomplete. And so it's 3 and out. So again, since we really stopped running the football, right, that's where we are. Right, we get all the way down the field with Devin Booth. We start working the perimeter passing game. The drive goes backwards. We kick the long field goal. We resume kind of the vertical passing game, the swing pass game. We go 3 and out. Not great. And what happens? Right, we give it right back to him and give Southern Miss a lot of credit. And Brad, I thought this drive here, Braylon Braxton kind of put the Golden Eagles on his back. Right, so he comes out, design run, rushes for 4 yards. Second and 6, he runs again for 7 up the middle. And then we get to him. First and 10, Will Woodson with a big sack there. The only sack we get of the game, but we did get a lot of pressure on him, and he was flushed several times. And again, he's athletic enough to make you pay for it, right? Second and 14, it's complete to Matt Jones for 5, makes it a 3rd and 9. And then they hit that kind of a deep post at the Caden Morris for 28 yards, one of their biggest plays of the day. Makes it a 1st and 10 at the State 41. And that was such a significant play. If we get off the field there, maybe you got a chance to kind of wrestle things back. But I thought this is a good wake-up call for Mississippi State. All right, 1st and 10 now from the State 41. They get it out to Chester. And again, that he is going to be kind of the go-to guy. He may not be the most explosive guy. He is a sure-handed guy. There's obviously some rapport between him and Braxton. Chester's going to have a ton of catches this year. 2nd and 7. They get it out to Elijah Metcalf for 12. That makes it a 1st down. Tyler Woodard on the tackle there, along with Jerron Manning. 1st and 10 at the State 26. They get off left side, 1 yard for Jeffrey Pittman. On 2nd and 9, pretty incredible play here. They credit this to Tanner Johnson, but I think it's actually over Kelly Jones. They basically kind of throw up 50-50 ball up. And Kelly's got his back to the ball, and Carl Chester kind of makes the grab behind Kelly's back. Great coverage on the play, but a great job by the wide receiver. Good throw by the quarterback. There are 3 guys making a good play right there, and unfortunately the guy that made the best play was the Southern Miss receiver, Carl Chester. So now it's 1st and goal at the State 3. Incomplete to Metcalf, and then incomplete to Kyron Heath. And I'll be honest with you, watching him kind of move around out there, I don't think he's quite what they think he is. 3rd and 3, and I don't know how Hunter Washington didn't pick this ball off. Honest to goodness, I don't know how he didn't pick it off, and it worse knock it down. But kind of gets on him a little bit, and the ball bounces up and kind of lands in the lap of Micah Davis. Good hand-eye coordination for him, tip of the cap. And all of a sudden, the Southern Miss fans are alive. Extra point is good. It's a 10-10 ball game. And then many of you, I saw your tweets, and I saw some of the people – some of the walk-on experts out here with much to say. Again, for the 3rd consecutive drive, we kind of do ourselves in here. We try to get back to running a little bit, Booth runs for four, and then we try to swing it out to Sadu, and it's you know, good for five. And then on third and one, we can't move it. We can't move it. And we end up having a 35-yard punt. And so three and out. So, again, since, you know, again, that Davin Booth flurry of back-to-back-to-back first downs, offensively, we hadn't done much. We really hadn't. And now they've got the ball and a chance to take the lead. And listen, the Southern Miss people that were there were into the ballgame. Don't get me wrong. There wasn't a lot. There was not a ton of people there. But if you're Southern Miss, you got to think this is the best-case scenario for us. We've kind of weathered the storm. We're tied. We have the ball. They get it out to Kyron Heath for five. Second and five, incomplete to Braylon Brown, who I think is probably going to be a really good part of their offense. Diego Brumfield with a nice PBU there. On third and five, they call timeout. And next thing you know, Braxton is loose for a dozen yards and a first down. And this is when State kind of stiffened up. They get out in their midfield, and State's like, okay, you've gone far enough. They get it out to Matt Jones, and it's a two-yard gain. Shepard with the tackle there, just kind of rallying into the football. You like to see, like, the defensive backs turn guys back and see your defensive ends playing complementary football, kind of helping in pursuit there. Second and eight, Jones at the middle for one. And, again, I just didn't think the Southern backs did much of anything. Third and seven, they take a shot to Carl Chester. And, again, Kelly Jones there, another PBU. So here we are. You know, midway through the second quarter, and both starting corners for State have been challenged, and both of them have a PBU at this point. That's got to give you some level of encouragement. Fourth and seven, it's a 49-yard punt, and they end up getting tacked on 5 yards to the touchback after an illegal formation against Southern Miss. It's not just us. All right, State puts together a drive here, and I really thought from this drive – until the game was basically decided, Mississippi State had all the momentum. I thought this drive right here showed a little bit of moxie. And again, you know, State with a couple of, with a stop there gives the offense a chance to kind of get things back. And you know, here we go with Fluff. Runs off the right side with eight on second, two up the middle for one. On third and one, we bring in Kamario Taylor. And we talked about this on the show, and you guys thought I was just speculating. I wasn't. Bringing Kamario in these short yardage and red zone situations, and what does he do? He runs off the right side for three, moves the chains, first down, shaping back in. Complete to Anthony Evans for 19 yards, and then you know things really start to click. Really start from this point forward for about, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, State did pretty much what they wanted to do. So you get out to Brennan Thompson on first and 10 for seven, brings up a manageable second and three. We give it to Booth, who moves the chains. They flag us for holding on Blake Steen here, which makes it second and 13. We're incomplete to Marcus Allen. They give initially credit a PBU to Josh Moten. However, it's pass interference, and you can't do that in Division I college football. First and 10 now at the 37. 1 yard loss here, one of the few runs for loss that we had on the day. Makes it second 11. And then Brennan Thompson, nice reception here for eight. They have offsetting penalties between Moten and, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of, it's just football, man. It's nobody's hurt. Third and three, we give it to Fluff up the middle for 10. And I thought that was probably there a little bit more for us later in the ballgame. But first and 10, Fluff, again, the rare 1 yard loss. I think Davin Booth and Fluff both had one run for loss in the ballgame. Blake had a couple. Second 11, Mason Clinton, former Bulldog, offsides on the play, makes it a second and six. And then Booth off left side for 10, makes it a first and goal at the six. We get flagged for false start. Those are the kind of things you can't do. Those are drive killers. And again, we've already tried to kind of hurt ourselves here. First and 11, Shapen runs at the middle, no gain. Second 11, we get it out to Sadu, down to the Southern Miss 7. I thought he scooted out of bounds a little bit too quick. I mean, we were under a minute, but we got timeouts to work with. Right out of bounds at the 6. Third and 6, we get it to Brennan Thompson, and it's short of the goal line. I thought our ball placement on this throw was a little bit off. And they're kind of picking on Moten a little bit. And I think a lot of it's because, you know, he's emotional right now. Down to the 2. So 4th and 2, we decide to go for it. And what do? Who do we bring in? Number one, Kamario Taylor. He runs off left side for the touchdown. And what I love about this is how many times have you seen a freshman get in a ball game in a big moment? It's pretty rare in and of itself. But then allow the game to speed him up. Guys, once Kamario realized that he had it, he just kind of glided into the end zone. Right? He didn't like panic or dive into the end zone or risk hurting himself. He just kind of glided in. Now, the hold happens on the backside. Cam Ball has called for this, and quite frankly, I don't think it should have been called. That's just, you know, my personal opinion. And admittedly, I'm biased. But it's behind the play. It's completely behind the play. We gain no competitive advantage from it. But that makes it now 4th and 12. So we elect to kick the field goal. Kyle Ferry, again, good. There was an extra point earlier in this game. Remember we had a bad snap on? Kyle just kind of wedged it up there. And so now it's 13-10. Should be more. Sutter Miss kneels on it to kind of run out the clock there for the to end the first half. So, again, 13-10. A lot of Bulldogs were kind of sweating this thing out. I was not, because I felt like in the second half after we kind of had some adjustments, because now we got a chance to communicate with everybody in person. You know, we know what, hey, guys, this is how they're attacking us. Here's how they're defending us. We have better players and better coaches. We're going to take advantage. All right, your second half recap brought to you by Clothes with Blair at clothesofblair.com. That's Blair Chandler, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Communicated with Blair a lot this weekend. He's jacked about the win. He is. He was a little bit worried like some of you in the early going. He's happy to have won, and of course, as we got to play better next week. Speaking of playing better, when it comes to your mortgage, you can't play around with that. You don't need to just entrust anybody to take advantage of your situation. Maybe you're a person that's had trouble getting approval in the past, and maybe it's because you had the wrong loan officer. Maybe you just weren't quite ready. Maybe you didn't have your down payment. But there's a lot of creative financing options out there for you to make your dream of home ownership a reality. Trust Blair Chandler. 24 years of experience. Knows exactly what to do to get you to the closing table. Get that pre-qualification letter. That's a life hack nobody ever tells you about. Get approved so you're not shopping above your means. Be realistic with what you got going in life. It doesn't matter who you cheer for. Blair will give you the same quality of service. So no matter if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the only name to know at closeatblair.com. All right, let's jump into this third quarter. And this was the difference in the ballgame. State totally dominated a quarter, really in both aspects, and did what we wanted them to do. You know, if they had done this in the second quarter, it'd have been a much happier afternoon. But in the end of the day, all the points scored in the third quarter count just as much as they would in the first. But you knew Southern Miss was going to come out on that opening drive with some purpose. It's like, hey, guys, we are in this ball game. You know, Huff gave them a great intermission speech. You got to keep believing. You got to keep working hard. Eliminate the penalties. Let's get back to what we do. And that's exactly what they tried to do. They give it to Jeff Pittman, who's up the middle for 5. And then it's an incomplete pass to Chester. And again, Chester's going to be the guy that when they need a play, they're going to him. 3rd and 5, they get it to Chester for 9 yards. Moves the chains. 1st down. 1st and 10, they give it to Pittman off the left side. And Jare Bledsoe and Will Whitson snuff it out. Stick him for a 3-yard loss, and then they're incomplete to Metcalf, and it's ball's broken up there. Malik Sila, I don't know why they always say it. You get the big paw up there. He's not like a big grizzly bear. You know, he's more of a lean athlete, but nevertheless, there, great play by him. 3rd and 13, and they get it out to Jeff Pittman, but it's just 3 yards. It's a great job of the Bulldogs by just rallying into the football there. They get a punt, and I think it hit one of our guys, I think. But nevertheless, Anthony Evans picks it up. That may have come earlier in the ballgame. But, again, State comes out with purpose. You know, get the big stop, and it's one of those things that has to happen, right? In these close ball games, you've got to survive the first 10 minutes of the second half. We did. They did not. Blake comes out, gets it to Seydou, a little bit of a, you know, a push pass there, nothing going. I honestly don't like the play call or the play design. Short yardage, maybe, but I just don't know if Seydou's quite fleet of foot. Plus, you got some smaller guys out there on the perimeter trying to block for you. It just doesn't work as well, I don't think. Didn't work here. No gain. Second 10, we get it out to Ed Evans for 11. Moves the ball. First down. First and 10, then we get it to Brennan Thompson here. And you got a chance to kind of see what he can do in the open field. He makes the first guy miss. And as soon as that happened, I turned to David Murray. I said, that's trouble. 55 yards for the touchdown. We get flagged. And Evans at the 4-yard line for holding. It was the right call. I asked Brennan about it in postgame. He said, I got to do a better job of not putting him in that situation. I thought that was a very mature answer. Now, first and 10 from their 14, we give it to Booth for 5. Back to him for 8. And that gives you first and goal from the 1. Davin can't get it in there. We give it to Fluff. He gets stopped, and then they flag us for illegal formation. Another thing that just can't happen. And on 3rd and 6, I don't know why it's a 3rd and 6. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But nevertheless, it's Fluff off the left side for 6 for his first Bulldog touchdown. Extra point is good. It is now a 20-10 game, and it really felt like, you know what, this thing is probably over. Over the course of the next few minutes, State made sure that it was. Southern Miss comes out at their 25. Get it out to Elijah Metcalf for 1. Kelly Jones and Brandon Jennings rally to make a tackle there. 2nd and 9. Briggs up the middle for 1. DJ Reed on the tackle along with Deontay Anderson. I thought DJ Reed was a disruptor for Mississippi State. That bull rush, he took that right tackle into Braylon Braxton's lap multiple times. And then he comes back on 3rd and 8 and bats the ball down. They end up having a punt. So a 3-and-out for the Southern Miss offense. Bulldogs, again, a chance to really put this thing away and make it a 3-score game. They do. We get flagged for holding on the punt return, which makes it 1st and 20 from our 23. Is that right? I think it is. Yeah. Nevertheless, we give it to Booth for 2. Then on 2nd and 18, we get it across to Brennan Thompson. They originally called targeting. The replay in-house made it appear that it really wasn't targeting. 12-yard gain, no penalty. He stays in the game. And that's fine. Corey Myrick. On 3rd and 6, we get it to Johnny Daniels, who runs for 13. It just kind of felt like a destiny drive here. 1st and 10 from midfield. Incomplete to Marcus Allen. They credit Ishmael Ibrahim with the breakup there. 2nd and 10, we get it out to J-Mo for 16. And I think he's going to be a bigger part of things as we kind of move forward. We're pretty vanilla in this ball game. 1st and 10, incomplete to Brennan. And again, to Ibrahim with the breakup there. On 2nd and 10, we get it out to Aiden Williams for 7. Then go right back to him. And he gets 10 yards here and moves chains on 3rd and 3 to make it 1st and 10 at Southern Miss 17. Fluff off the left side for 11. And now 1st and goal from the 6. We give it to Fluff up the middle for 5. Right back to him, pretty much the same play. And there was an interesting exchange here. After the play was over, Michael Montgomery, the guy that had the great pick earlier for Southern Miss, transferring from Portland State, he tries to fit a gap, and Fluff drives him 3 yards into the end zone, and he didn't like it, and he kind of woofed a little bit. And so here's what I would say about that. When you fit a gap and you get shoved into the end zone, you just go get some Gatorade and watch the offense play. You don't make a big deal. But I think there's some frustration there. And I give Michael Montgomery a lot of credit. The guy is clearly a winner. And that Portland State, it was a game against Oregon. I think he had like 14 tackles. I mean, this is a guy – a great get for Southern Miss, but on this particular play, big boy football got the better of him. Ferry makes the extra point. It is now a 27-10 game. And just when you thought, okay, Southern Miss, not dead yet, even though they're down 3 scores, very first play of the drive, they try to run a little bit of a fade concept here, and then Brian Lanier picks it off. Very athletic play, great play there. If Braxton waits another beat, maybe he's open. But I felt like with inside position there, it was going to require a perfect throw. He didn't make a perfect throw. And as you heard on the Boneyard, anything down the field, it's just a bit of a challenge for him. It is. That's just not his game. And in-state makes him pay. And this, and following this drive is when a lot of Southern Miss fans decided to seek their entertainment elsewhere. Stonka Burnside comes in as the Wildcat quarterback and runs off left for six. Nice little wrinkle there. And on second and four, we get it out to Daniels, again, who runs so exceptionally hard. 6 yards to the Southern Miss 30. And on first and 10, we go back to Daniels, and then Jabari Ishmael breaks it up. Second and 10, Booth up the middle for two, makes it a third and 8. You think, okay, well, this, you know, at least we're in field goal range, right? Because basically anything across the 50 is in field goal range now for Mississippi State. But no, we weren't satisfied with that. We get it to Booth, who fights through a tackle, makes a man miss, gets 12 yards. It's now first and 10 at their 16. We get it to Brennan Thompson for six. And on second and four, Booth up the middle again. And State really found some success between the tackles in this second half. First and goal from the four, Booth up the middle for one, back to him for three for the touchdown, and he basically goes in unmolested. First and 10 now, and we kick the extra point. It is, guys, it's 34-10. The game's over. It's just a matter of what the final score is going to be. Southern Miss drive, take over at their 25 and a three and out here. Braxton complete to Micah Davis for just three. They run for five with Matt Jones. They go back to Jones on third and two, and the Bulldogs stack it up. Tyler Woodard with a nice tackle here. It's good that the Bulldogs are getting some production out of him. Just a one-yard gain there. And on fourth and one, they elect to punt. And some people around me were like, I can't believe they're not going for it. I was like, guys, the game is over, right? There's just no point in adding insult to injury. The final play of the third quarter, a lapse here by the Bulldogs. Blake Shapen is sacked for a six-yard loss. The ball is a fumble, but Jacoby Jackson jumps on it. That runs out your quarter. And again, that those kind of things can't happen. I'm kind of asking myself at that moment, you know, what are we doing, right? Why are we dropping back the pass? You know, we're a 24-point lead. You know, let's not tempt fate here. We get a false start from Jimothy Lewis, who I thought actually played pretty well outside of a couple of pre-snap penalties. On the big run from Fluff Bothwell off that left side for that first touchdown, it was Jimothy that sealed inside there. Really nice play from him. But we go back to Johnny Daniels here for 10 off the right side, and then across the middle to Johnny Daniels for 9. We end up having a punt. Yeah, we end up having a punt here. And 47-yard punt from Ethan Pulliam, the best punt of the day. But again, we're in the fourth quarter up 24 points. The game's over. Southern Miss drive, and again, they put together a pretty well-sustained drive here, but the Bulldogs, with a lot of bandits on the field, refuse to yield. All right, so Jeffrey Pittman runs at the middle for no gain. On second and 10, is complete to Jeffrey Pittman for 8. Third and 2, Braylon Braxton gets flushed and runs at the middle to move a chain. Jaylen Smith on a tackle, first and 10. False start for them, makes it a first and 15. They get it out to Pittman, who gets 37 yards. And really ran hard on the play. I mean, listen, I think Pitt's going to do well for them. Kelly Jones on the tackle. Nobody's going to outrun him. First and 10 from the State 32. It's incomplete to Tyshawn Chapman. And on second and 10, Braxton off the right side for 4. Makes it a manageable third and 6. He gets flushed again, runs off left for 12. Now, first and 10 from our 16. And this is where things get interesting, right? Jerron Manning and Darian Gallette managed to make a tackle here after a one-yard gain from Elijah Metcalf. Robert Briggs, again, they are determined to run him between the tackles. It's almost like a little bit of a Brandon Holloway thing. He's better on the edges, but you know, you keep trying to run him between your tackles. Briggs up the middle for 4 on 3rd and 5. He gets 2. They end up going for it on 4th and 3 from the State 9-yard line. It's complete to Jeffrey Pittman. State got some pressure in their face and had to show it, throw it a little bit short. And it's a gain of just 2 yards. And turnover on downs. You know, Hunter Washington with a nice play there. And again, anybody that was still wondering how this thing was going to turn out, they were pretty much relieved at that point in the ballgame. We give it to Daniels, who runs for 7. They flag us for holding here. Jacoby Jackson, the culprit, backs it up to the State 3-yard line. Then Daniels up the middle for 2. Croman Hawk is in the game. And up the middle for 3, and then on 3rd and 9, and I thought he was very decisive in what he did. I thought he showed you some things. We played all 3 quarterbacks because we wanted to, not because we had to, but Croman Hawk runs for 13 yards to move the sticks. First and 10. He's complete to Marcus Allen. His first catch is a Bulldog for 7. Makes it a second and short. And Johnny Daniels runs it 3 yards to move the sticks. And on first and 10, Krovenhock is incomplete to Cam Thompson. First time we've targeted him. They credit Josh Moten with the PBU. Krovenhock runs again for 5. Makes it a 3rd and 5. And then we try to get it out to Stanka, but it's broken up by Joseph Harper. They flag us for delay of the game. Nathan Tice gets a punt away. 42 yards on the punt. Fair catch by Ishmael. It's garbage time now. And Bulldogs, as Jeff Levy said in postgame, played every defensive player that made the trip and were on the dress list. So first and 10, Braxton complete to Shane King. His first catch as a collegiate player for 15 yards. They flagged them for holding. Luke Rogers, the younger brother of Will Rogers, commits the infraction, makes it 1st and 20. And you think, okay, we ought to be able to get off the field here. Got them backed up inside their own 20, 1st and 20. I don't know that we managed it exceptionally well here. Briggs off the left side for 6, and then Braxton is flushed. It runs for 6, makes it 3rd and 8, and this is a big conversion for him here. They get it out to Charles Montgomery for 11 yards. 1st down. 1st and 10 at their 40. Incomplete to Dalton Davis out of MRA, but there's a PI called. Now it's 1st and 10 at our 45. Braylon Braxton complete to Charles Montgomery. Just a couple yards there. They flag guys for defensive holding, though. So, again, we're kind of aiding in our own demise here. 1st and 10 from our 33. It's an incomplete pass. They actually review it. I'm trying to remember here. Yeah, I don't remember what happened here on this review. But nevertheless, it's incomplete. Briggs up to middle for 3. They burn a timeout here on 3rd and 7. They get it out to Briggs for a couple yards, makes it 4th and 5. They decide to go for it, and again, we've got it covered up. Braxton, the athlete that he is, tucks it and runs for 6 for the 1st down. On 1st and 10, they take another shot here, and it's Cyrus Reyes. It breaks it up. They flag us for pass interference, and it was. Now it's 1st and goal at the 7. Matt Jones caught nothing. They got the notes here wrong. He gets 4 yards. 3 yards. 2nd and 7, they get the complete pass to T.J. Johnson, who was wide open for the touchdown. Extra point is good. But, again, you go back and you look at this. A lot of young names on this, but, man, a ton of defensive penalties on this drive. You get the P.I. there. You get the defensive holding. There's another P.I. I mean, there's just a lot to this part of the deal. But 34-17, State takes the field 1st and 10 from a 35 because they kicked the ball out of bounds, and we give it to Colin Wilson, his first carry as a Bulldog, and that's the last play of the ballgame. All right, so time for us to kind of look inside the numbers here and just kind of see who did well and who didn't, and maybe you haven't taken the time to go back and look at this, but looking at the team stats, the Bulldogs pretty much beat Southern Miss in every aspect, right? 1st downs, 23-18 in favor of State. We did give them 3 first downs by virtue of penalty and just had 1 ourselves. That's one, again, you can't extend their drives. We ran for 188 yards, which is actually one of the highest totals in the Jeff Levy era at Mississippi State. We held Southern Miss to 102. Yeah, they had 35 attempts. We had 42. You'd expect us to run more with the lead, and we did. But we averaged 4.5 yards a carry. Now, their defensive line, I thought, at times made some plays. But if we're going to average 4.5 a carry, you know, why do we ever throw it? We ran for 3 touchdowns. 8 yards lost, a 1 yard run, negative 1 yard run for Fluff, and 1 for Davin Booth, and 6 charged against Blake Shapen. State threw for 277 yards in the game. Southern Miss just 199. Blake was 27 of 37 with the 1 pick. Depth of target was 7.5, and we had 10.3 because of the catch and run there. A couple of those catches and run. But Braylon Braxton threw for a couple touchdowns. One of those, obviously, we thought should have been picked. Another one was that penalty-aided drive. So it's not like they sustained a lot of drives when things mattered. That one drive, obviously, to tie it, we should have had a pick. Total offense, Bulldogs rack up 465 yards of offense. Southern Miss just 301. They ran 74 plays to our 79. Bulldogs averaged about 6 yards a play, Southern Miss 4. One big thing here, we mentioned those penalty first downs, but Sutter Miss penalized 8 times for 60 yards. Bulldogs 14 times for 119. That's something that's got to get better. And a lot of those are things that are easy cleanups. I mean, you got guys, illegal formations, that can't happen. Pre-snap penalties, that can't happen. It's one thing to have an effort penalty, but, you know, you can't have undisciplined penalties. Sutter Miss punted 5 times for an average of 42.8. Bulldogs 4 times for an average of 40. That's got to get better. Both had a punt inside the 10, or inside the 20, pardon me. Kickoff, Sutter Miss kicked off 4 times with an average of 60.8. They get 3 touchbacks there. Most of the time, they called a fair catch. Bulldogs kicked off 7 times, average of 65. Had 6 of those who were touchbacks. The one that wasn't, they elected to bring out and actually got a decent return out of it. 32 yards on that return. And, you know, that's one of those things you begin to look at, kind of the game within the game. Time of possession stayed about a minute more than them. On third down conversion, Southern was better than they should have been. They were 10 of 19, the Bulldogs 11 of 17. Sutter Miss goes for it on fourth down 3 times. They get it just once. They're 2 of 3 in the red zone. Your Bulldogs, though, 4 for 4 red zone scoring. And red zone offense was a real challenge last year for the Bulldogs. We get a sack. They get a sack. They make both PATs. We make all 4 of ours. And everybody was perfect in the kicking department. But, yeah, I mean, so in that respect, that part of it is clean. But, man, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of teachable moments. As we mentioned, Blake Shapen, 26 of 34, 270 yards, a touchdown, 1 interception, of course, that long 55-yard touchdown pass to, was it 55? I think 55 was the one for Brennan Thompson that was called back on the holding. And then, you know, the long pass to Seydou, obviously. And that ended up being a long 55, too. Yeah, so 55. So we did it a couple times. Davin Booth, 16 carries for 79 yards. Fluff, 10 of 43. Johnny Daniels, 4 carries for 28. He actually averaged 7 yards a carry. Luke Cromanhawk got in, obviously, 3 for 21. Blake Shapen, 6 for 11. A long of 5. And then Stonka Burnside, the 1 for 6. Camario, 1 for 3. And, of course, the touchdown nullified. And Colin Wilson, 1 for 3. So, Brennan Thompson, your leading receiver, 7 catches for 92 yards. Seydou, 5 for 77. And the touchdown at Evans, 4 for 36. Jordan Mosley, 2 for 19. Johnny Daniels, 3 for 19. Aiden Williams, 2 for 17. Davin Booth, 1 for 12. Marcus Allen, 1 for 7. Ricky Johnson, the 1 catch for 2. But, you know, Jeff Pittman, obviously, you know, Jeff's a guy that was a Bulldog, had 9 carries officially for 16 yards. And that's your RB1 average, 1.8 yards a carry. They got about, you know, 6 catches for 52 in that long of 37. So, you know, Jeff, I'm sure wish he could have done more. What was it? 16 and 52 is what? 68 yards of offense. Yeah. Carl Chester, we talked about him, 5 catches for 52 yards. And again, Bulldog secondary, I thought really, really played well. And, again, you know, the competition's going to be a lot greater this week. We'll talk a little bit about Arizona State in the final segment of the show. But Isaac Smith, your leading tackler, with 7. Jaylen Smith with 7. Brian Lanier, of course, 6. And the pick, Malik Sela with 6. Getting some value out of him is huge for Mississippi State. He also had the 1 pass breakup, Nick Mitchell with 5. Tyler Woodard with 4. Jerron Manning with 4. Darian Gillette with 4. Hunter Washington. LaKendrick James got in the game and had 4. Will Whitson with 4. And, of course, 2.5 for loss. He had the sack and, of course, the big hit behind the line on Jeffrey Pittman. Jerry Bledsoe, and he teamed up for another. A'shaun Shepard with 4 tackles. And so, I mean, it's pretty well spread here. But, you know, looking at PBUs, I mean, it's like, you know, how many times did we struggle last year with that? Even batting balls down at the line of scrimmage. But State gets their hand on 7 passes in this ballgame. Ethan Pulliam, 2 punts for 41 is the average. Nathan Tice, 39 for him. And, again, we got to get a little bit better with that. Kyle Ferry, outstanding effort from him. And, again, a school record, 55-yarder. And Marlon Hawk, what a good job he did. You know, 7 kickoffs, all 7 carry into the end zone. And if you're just trying to make something happen and your Southern Miss is like, just bring it out. Let's just kind of make something happen here. Not much going in the return game for us, but that's just kind of part of the deal. But Bulldogs win. And it's always good to win, and that's how we feel today. And so now we transition into the top 10 list. Brought to you, as always, by Kalido Guitars, CalidoGuitars.com. It's a Mississippi State owned and operated music store. It's primarily a guitar shop, but they can help you with any stringed instrument, right? It doesn't matter what you play. And if you're looking for a beginner guitar, you know, Miller Road guitar or a professional grade guitar, if you want to update your rig, you can do so at Kalito Guitars. Anything you need accessory-wise, whether they be gig bags, cases, and there's just something cool about walking around with a guitar case. Chicks dig it. It's true. But also, too, any cables, strings, anything that you need to outfit the guitar player in your family or perhaps yourself, you can find it at KalitoGuitars.com. Now, how many times do you order something online from somebody and it's not exactly as you want or something goes wrong and you can't get a hold of them? That's not a problem with us at Kalito Guitars. You can call and speak to them directly, and they'll get you taken care of. Your satisfaction, absolutely guaranteed. Their expertise, absolutely unsurpassed. These are guitar players, and this is a family-owned business owned by Mississippi State people. Yeah. They're going to provide you a little incentive to do business with them. Promo code BSR. You know it well. That gets you 10% off your purchase. That gets you free shipping, and that gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition, they'll make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund based off your purchase price. So you're getting a great instrument with great service at a discount with no shipping, and in most cases, no sales tax, and you're helping Mississippi State. I wish more businesses did this. You need to give your business to them. Again, it doesn't matter if you're just beginning to play guitar or you're a professional grade player. Kalito Guitars, the only place that you should be shopping. Again, that's CalidoGuitars.com. All right, it's Labor Day, so let's jump into our Labor Day playlist. We do one of these pretty much every year because you know what? Labor Day falls on Monday, and we work on Monday. And in this case, on Sunday. I've already written 4 stories today. Now we're recording the Boneyard. We're getting it done. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow, but we'll get it done then too. But here we go. Number 10, and it's song's been covered a few times, but it's John Lennon's Working Class Hero, and that is something to aspire to be. You know, I think there's a lot of people, even in jolly old England, that, you know, that they kind of rally against the royals, and they're really more of the working class. And, you know, John Lennon was a guy, too, obviously, that knew how to emote and to elicit emotion from people. This is one of those songs kind of celebrating people that work hard for a living. Number 9, a song you've heard a million times. You probably never knew who recorded it. It's Working in the Coal Mine, and it's such a cool track, man. But Lee Dorsey recorded it. I don't know how many people still work in a coal mine. It's work I would never want to do. I see this stuff on TV, and it just blows my mind. How tightly confined those spaces are and how much people work and how hard they have to work. It's incredible. Number 8, a song that's been covered too, originally recorded by the Isley Brothers, so we're going to go with them, even though the Average White Band had a great rendition too. It's Work to Do. And it's basically about, you know, I can't be hanging around with you all the time. I got work to do. Number 7, just because I wanted to include them, it's Depeche Mode's Work Hard. Think you'll dig that one too. It may be a Depeche Mode song that some of you are unfamiliar with. Be sure and check it out. Number 6, also because it's my show and my list, I wanted to include this band too. I've had a chance to meet Lee, the lead singer from Pop Evil. I've met the whole band. Super cool guy. Very down to earth. Met his girlfriend too. She's phenomenal. And she was kind enough to take Dan and I's picture with Lee at Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. But I really dig them. And after meeting them, I liked them even more. And because I've met some of their, you know, significant others or families, you know, it makes you realize they're just like the rest of us. They just have a cool job, and they work hard. And so we're going to go with Pop Evil's Work at number 6. Now, the rest of these, I think you could make an argument they're all classic rock bands. Okay? Number 5, a song not necessarily about working, but kind of about having ambitions in life. And it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek song. Arguably, the greatest punk band of all time. Some would say the Sex Pistols, but of course the catalog is very, very limited. But the Clash, we're going to go with Career Opportunities at number 5. Number 4, anytime we work in some Skinner, that's a good thing. And you know, Skinner, obviously, was on the MCA record label, and they had a track called Working for MCA. Some other people have covered that too. Number 3, it's Huey Lewis in the News. I can't remember. I think it was... The Secret of My Success, whatever it is. I can't remember. The movie with Michael J. Fox. But it's Huey Lewis in the News working for a living was in that movie. I think that's right. But yeah, but nevertheless, it's a great track. I'm taking what they're given because I'm working for a living. Number two, and it's weekends like this that make life worth living, right? Many of you will take that last little trip out to the reservoir, or you'll be out on a boat, or you'll get friends together and you'll cook out, watch some football. But I enjoy working. I do. I love, matter of fact, that's one of the reasons I've worked so hard today is because I enjoy what we do. And I enjoy the fact that we won. And I want to take advantage of that and your glee about the victory to get as much content out there in front of you as possible. But all of us, including me and you, we're all working for the weekend. You know, for us, that's when a lot of sporting events are played. And so we can't wait. When we're winning, we can't wait to get back out there and cover a game. We're looking forward to having you all at Davis-Wade Stadium this weekend as we welcome Arizona State. But working for the weekend, Mike Reno, great singer. Number one, though, it's Styx. And I told you guys the best Styx songs are the ones that Tommy Shaw sings on. Dennis just, he's okay. He's okay. But it's Blue Collar Man. That's what we aspire to be. And I think that's one of those things, too. I think that separates a lot of people. There are a lot of people out there that really don't want to work. You know, and listen, there's a part of me, too, I wish I could just sit around and do DoorDash and watch Netflix all day, but I'd be bored with that after a couple days. It's true. But I enjoy what we do, and that's an important aspect of life. The old adage, I think it's Mark Twain that wrote or said, you know, a man that finds a job that he loves never works a day in his life. And I think there's some truth in that. So I hope that you are doing something that you get value out of other than just a paycheck. I hope that you love what you do and you feel like that you're making a difference in the world, good, bad, or indifferent. But the reality of it is I came up from a family of people that worked on a dairy farm, as you guys are well aware. My dad, of course, wanted me, my brother, and my family to have a better life. So he worked hard and got an education from Mississippi State. And but I value those incredible attributes that my dad passed down to me when it comes to working. It's one of those things that he worked for the American taxpayer and took that responsibility very seriously. So Blue Collar Man, your number one song on today's Top 10 list. If you've got ideas for the Top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, that's DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things we want. We can't get enough Mississippi State merchandise. We can't. You can find the best selection of Mississippi State apparel, gift ideas, and everything you need to detail out your fan cave at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in Starkville, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. You'll have the opportunity to peruse their fine selections and procure some things to make you feel even better about your fandom. Now, many of you have been kind of waiting till you got back to town because you'd like to support a Starkville business. Let me encourage you to go by, take a little time to go visit Campus Bookmart. A lot of new arrivals that are going to be very interesting for you. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. You could make your online purchases almost anywhere, but it's better to go with somebody that knows what true maroon looks like. And that's Miss Kathy Brown and the fine folks at Campus Bookmart. Spoke to her last week. She was on the beach. I'm not, but she was. But she'll be back this weekend to greet you with a smiling face at Campus Bookmart. Be sure and check them out this weekend. All right. Oh, online. CampusBookmart.net. Visit them there, and promo code BSR gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, incomplete. Wild weekend in the SEC, and according to the esteemed Mike Nemeth, your good friend and host is second. In the Jeans Page standings after 1 week. I went 11-5 over the weekend. Rion and Nathan and Jacob Bain were a game better at 12-4. Neil Stubchinski bringing up the rear at 8-8. Dave Murray 9-7. And Mike Nemeth 10-6. So I'm a game back 1 week in. We got to shake some things up this week. Let's go back and just kind of take a look here. We'll start with the final on Sunday, South Carolina, 24-11 winners. And what a great job by that defense. Really, really, really kind of hemmed them up a little bit. And 24-11 is your final. And South Carolina with 14 points there in the fourth quarter to win the ball game. Yeah, I mean, it's what it boils down to. It was a 9-8 game, odd score after three. And South Carolina puts it away with a pair of scores there in the fourth quarter. And so, hey, you watched it. You probably had some fun with it. South Carolina was ranked 13th entering the week. They'll certainly have an opportunity to move up a little bit. It was some shakeups in the top 10. Virginia Tech drops to 0-1. And not much really going on offensively here. Quarterback drones for Virginia Tech, 15 of 35 for 221 yards and two picks. That will not help you keep your job. Missouri absolutely demolishes Central Arkansas back on Thursday night, 61-6. Sure, you guys probably kept up with that. Kevin Coleman, a couple of grabs for him, but under 100 yards. But that offense didn't take a step back in week one, but granted, it's against an FCS team. Auburn, one of the ones I missed. Auburn goes into Baylor, and it was quite the fourth quarter, if you guys kept up. You know, it's like just when Baylor climbs back into it, next thing you know, Auburn returns the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown to take it back out to a two-score game. Just couldn't quite get there. And give Jackson Arnold a lot of credit. I don't know that he had a ton of success, though, in the football. But 16 carries for 137 yards, and he kind of willed that team to victory in the fourth quarter. A couple of big touchdowns there. Sawyer Robertson, former Mississippi State quarterback, goes 27 of 48, 419 yards and three touchdowns. So good game for him. Not a great game, but a good game. You look at those numbers at 419, but completion percentage has got to get better. And I really thought in that fourth quarter there were some plays to be made that Sawyer missed on. But Ohio State beats Texas, another one that I missed. I thought Texas would get it done. Arch Manning, a really, really difficult day. Now, to be fair to Arch Manning, and I think with the gift of hindsight, we could probably all agree, no matter what Texas returned, the fact that they've got a first-time starter behind center, and yes, I know he started against Louisiana Monroe and played a little bit when Quinn Ewers was out, but maybe we were expecting a little bit too much from him, and to anoint them as the number one quarterback and he goes to media days, probably, you know, probably not the best decisions, but Arch goes 17 of 130 for 170 yards and a touchdown and really struggled reading the field. Really, really did. But Ohio State, obviously, you're defending national champions. It was 7-0 at the break, and then they win it 14-7. Big win for Ohio State because Texas should be pretty good. But, you got to worry a little bit about the quarterback position. One school you don't have to worry about the quarterback position is Garrett Nussmeier and LSU. And what a big win this was. Brian Kelly had not won an opener in his LSU tenure. I told you guys on Friday, when it becomes a thing, you make it a thing that you're cognizant of and you begin to kind of work against that and say, hey, this has always been the thing. We're not going to accept this as a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're going to go win this ball game. They do. They march into Death Valley and they win 17-10. A fourth quarter touchdown proved to be the difference. And in addition to that, LSU fans rush the field and then dance on the field at Clemson. That's not going to sit well with the Dabo Swinney folks, for sure. But it was kind of the battle for the Death Valley name. And LSU gets it. Clemson was number four in the country. They'll certainly drop now, but they lose a tight ball game to an LSU team that I think a lot of people are sleeping on. Georgia, 45-7 winners over Marshall. Marshall kind of scores a garbage touchdown late. But we all knew how this thing was going to go. It's just going to be a matter if they covered. But the Bulldogs, 45-7 winners, and probably could have done whatever they wanted to. It's kind of how it all works out. Gunnar Stockton, not necessarily a great day. 14 of 24 for 190 yards and a couple touchdowns. And then he runs 10 times for 73 yards and two more touchdowns. So he accounts for four touchdowns on the day. But that Marshall defense, obviously, is kind of patchwork. The big story, I think, over the weekend, an unranked Florida State team that really struggled last year, absolutely demolished Alabama. and had a chance to, after our game, I went and ate pizza there in Hattiesburg on Hardy Street, just up the street from the Midtowner, same shopping center, and watched some of this and listened to the fourth quarter on the way home. In that third quarter, Florida State absolutely physically dominated Alabama. And you want to talk about the impact of the portal. I think that's where it's evident, is when you don't have the depth. And that's kind of what happened. They had some guys kind of get banged up. And I thought in that third quarter that Florida State had Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson running for his life. And I don't know that you saw that very often during the Nick Saban era. There's a lot. Kalen DeBoer, man, I mean, the honeymoon is over. Like last year, but I said, okay, it's year one. You drop this one, it's tough, man. And there have been all these statistical anomalies people have dug up. This Alabama team has got problems, big problems. Ty Simpson, 23 of 43 for 254 yards, and many of those passes in the second half, he kind of had to throw off his back foot as he was running for his life. But, yeah, huge win for Florida State. They rushed the field against Alabama, a team that's won multiple national championships. I don't think should ever rush the field against anybody unless you're winning a national championship. But that's kind of how things go. As expected, Florida annihilates Long Island University. I mean, it's like almost like playing Southern New Hampshire, right? 55-0 is your final. Pretty rough, man. And, you know, Florida played a lot of players, too, in this ball game. So a chance for everybody to kind of have a happy locker room. Oklahoma, 35-3 winners over Illinois State. No surprise there. That's a 21 game at the break. And then Illinois State scores in the third to break up the shutout. But no more as Oklahoma tacks on a couple. Mateer, quarterback from Oklahoma, 30 of 37 for 392 yards and three touchdowns. No drama in this game. But granted, they weren't on the road at Baylor. Texas A&M proved to be in a little bit of a dogfight. And I think this is one of those teams, I think we have them pegged at 8-4. But, you know, all due respect to the Roadrunners, Texas A&M, from an athleticism standpoint, should have been able to take care of this game. But at the break, it's 21-10. It's an interesting game. Mario Craver, former Mississippi State receiver, 8 catches, 122 yards, did a couple other things too. But Marcel Reed, good game for him, 22 of 34 for 289 yards and 4 touchdowns, and he's always such a threat. He is a very dangerous player. I just don't know sometimes if he's in the right system. Ole Miss, Austin Simmons struggled early on in this ball game, and, of course, they eventually wore them down. But two first-quarter picks for Simmons. And a lot of people, you saw social media, and the truth of the matter is, and Ole Miss fans, you kind of do it to yourself. And listen, I get it. It's a 56-point win, right? And he got it going. But for those people that were kind of irresponsibly suggesting that he was going to be a Heisman candidate this year, you're not being fair to the kid. You absolutely are not being fair to him because you are setting expectations that he's just not quite ready to meet. That's not to say he's not going to have some big moments this year. He will. But you put those things out there, and I know it's fun, you know, go get your bumper stickers printed and things like that and get all your buttons. But the reality of it is, just let the kid be the kid, right? Lacey, I thought, was really good for them. 16 carries, 108 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Simmons goes 20 of 31 for 341 yards and 3 touchdowns in the ball game. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to get real this week. Yeah, for sure. Even though Kentucky wasn't great, we'll get to them shortly. Tennessee, 45-26 winners over Syracuse, and Tennessee just kind of came out and smacked them right in the mouth and made them like it. 17-0 after one, and then 31-14 at the break, and then they just kind of traded scores in the second half, and Tennessee 45-26. The Tennessee defensive line had some moments, and some other times they didn't so much, but you know, it's just an interesting dynamic with this new quarterback situation, and you guys saw that Nico Iamaleva at UCLA got absolutely routed by Utah. Of course, the Bulldogs win 34-17. Kentucky escapes with a win over Toledo. I remember looking at this game before our game started, or peeking up as our game was ending, I guess, and it was 7-2 Kentucky. And then they score right before the half to make it a 10-2 game. And if you're Jason Candle, you're telling your guys, hey, don't – we got this. We're going to go on the road and win this thing like we did at Mississippi State last year. both teams get a couple scores in the fourth quarter, but 24-16 is your final. And I think if you're Kentucky, you've got to be really, really concerned. Really concerned. Dante Dowdell, of course, Mississippi native, 14 carries for 129 yards and a touchdown. And where would they have been without him? Arkansas destroys Alabama A&M as expected, 52-7. Green, again, phenomenal. Threw for 6 touchdowns in this game, 24-31 for 322 yards. And it just kind of spread the ball around, too. Washington had 9 carries for 79 yards. Blake, wide receiver, 7 catches for 121 yards and a score. If you're Alabama A&M, you're just kind of happy for the check. It just wasn't going to happen. Everybody knew it. Vanderbilt and Charleston Southern, I thought this one might be – I didn't think that Charleston Southern could win or cover, but I thought they might make a game of it. They did not. Vanderbilt, 28-0 at the break, makes it 35-0 after three, and they cruise to a 45-3 win. Diego Pavia, over 80% completions, 20 of 25, 275 for 3 touchdowns. Alexander runs for 83 yards on 12 carries, and so that's your weekend. Fun weekend. Fun to talk about football again, as you guys are well aware. We get some football tomorrow, too. But let's take a quick peek ahead to next week. So Texas will host San Jose State. That's a great game for Arch Manning to just kind of get going again and maybe get Wisner a little more involved. And Texas will win that game. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's crazy. Look at this stuff. But Utah State is 1-0. They'll go to A&M. Could that be one you look at and say, you know what, maybe it's going to be difficult to cover? You know, Texas favored by 35.5, A&M by 30.5. Who knows? Austin Peay with a big win. They knock off a FBS team over the weekend. I don't know if you were keeping up with that. But, Chris Parson probably playing the NIL long game. They beat Middle Tennessee State. Chris with a couple touchdowns, 34-14 winners over Middle Tennessee State. And you know as well as I do, when Middle put that game on the schedule as a home game, I thought, okay, well, this will give us a chance to get out of the gate, maybe give us a chance to get bowl eligible. No. Now, Chris will play Georgia. There's no line on the game because it's an FCS game. There will be, I guess, late. But it's interesting. It's interesting. Austin Peay won't make this a game, but yeah, Chris is the guy that's going to put up big numbers and then probably go in the portal and get paid well. Ole Miss is at Kentucky. And, again, it's just a weird, weird deal. The over-under on this game is 52. And I think a lot of people feel like Ole Miss will score most of that. Kentucky's got to figure some things out. But they do so many odd things with those odd fronts. I expect this to be a game for a while. And, listen, Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, they shouldn't have to say anything. I mean, honest to goodness, they just put this all week long. You just play that fourth quarter on loop in the facility of the Manning Complex, and you shouldn't need a pregame speech. I mean, that's a game that Ole Miss lost last year. They had no business losing. And you remember that crazy fourth down heave that Kentucky just kind of threw up on a wing and a prayer? And it was more wing than prayer, but it got answered. But Ole Miss favored by 9.5 on the road. We'll see how things go. But, again, I think Ole Miss, when they're playing at their proficiency offensively, they should win this game. However, how is Simmons going to react with these odd fronts? You've never seen it before. I mean, you watch it in film, but it's another thing when you're the guy having to play against it. So that'll be interesting. East Tennessee State is at Tennessee. Should be a bloodbath. Aguilar last weekend had 247 yards and 3 touchdowns. I suspect he'll pass that this week. Kansas and Missouri. Kansas is already 2-0. Missouri, a 6.5-point home favorite. Over-under in this game is 51.5. But, Daniels, the quarterback from Kansas, already in 2 games, thrown 456 yards and 7 touchdowns against just 1 pick. This is the rivalry game. We played in Como. It's going to be awfully interesting. South Florida at Florida. South Florida, one of the big shockers last week, you know, they win the ball game to advance to 1-0. And you recall the fake punt, how incredible it was. They beat Boise State like a drum, 34-7. They're not going to be intimidated by Florida, but I just don't think they're going to have the athletes to match up. And I know you guys probably agree with me. Arkansas State is at Arkansas for the first time ever. I haven't seen a line on this game yet. But I don't think Arkansas State's going to win this ball game. But I think it's a cool thing they're playing. And with the move to 9 games on the SEC schedule, it may be the only time they play. They knocked off Southeast Missouri in week 1, 42-24. South Carolina will host South Carolina State. That's a 6 p.m. game. They'll have the lights going and all that good stuff. And, you know, and it'll be an absolute blowout. Louisiana Tech is at LSU. Now, this is interesting. I mean, Tech will come out and play hard. You know, they blasted, they blanked Southeastern Louisiana 24-0. That's not going to be enough offense against LSU. LSU will win this game. I don't think there's much question about it. And, of course, Arizona State's at Mississippi State. Talk a lot about that before the week is over, but I'll give you a few nuggets before we get out of here. Michigan is at Oklahoma. That could be a really fun one there. I think I like Michigan there, but it'll be interesting. Ball State is at Auburn. You got to like the Tigers' chances there. Vanderbilt's at Virginia Tech. Could the Hokies go 0-2 to open the season against SEC teams? Well, yes, they could. And then Louisiana Monroe's at Alabama. And so that's your schedule this week. Let's go ahead and jump into our final segment brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without question when you're bringing a large group to town. And you should. You absolutely should do that. You owe it to yourself to go make some memories with the people you love and care about the most. That's an important aspect of life, making memories with those people that are going to gather around your bedside in your final days. Nobody's guaranteed that, but man, the people that are going to be impactful in your life between now and then, they deserve your time. They do. And so we've stayed there. We had a great time. We'll do it again. We encourage you to stay there too, because plenty of parking, a lot of great amenities there, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, and then, of course, 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's the old renovated clubhouse out past the Highlands on 182. You can do your tailgating right there. And maybe it's not even a ball game weekend. You just want to come up and enjoy Starkville and check out your favorite shops and restaurants. It's open 365 days a year. So Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates, and you'll be glad because you can look at all the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you and your guest. Also, some booking options are going to pop up. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. You can. Or you can book through the Evolve website and save some money. I got a promo code for you. Promo code BSR10, that's BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, 10, gets you 10% off your stay. Be sure and check it out today, the premier place to stay in Starkville when you got a large group. And again, you owe it to yourself to put all this together. All right, we've already begun our coverage. We did all of our Southern Miss stuff yesterday in the day, and then wrote a story late about the weekend to come with Arizona State. Look, I watched the Northern Arizona game against Arizona State. A few things I want to share with you as we kind of move forward. Sam Levitt's good, and their game was eerily reminiscent to our game against Southern Miss. It's like they got a good start, and then in the middle of the game, things got a little discombobulated for a while. They had 3 consecutive 3 and outs, like negative 2 yards, and then they get the first drive of that third quarter, and again, it's starting to stall a little bit, and on a third down play, everything was covered up, and then Levitt just takes off and runs for the touchdown. He added another one later in the ball game to kind of put it away, but Northern Arizona just did not have the firepower on offense to keep up, but defensively, they played really well. They played a lot of 5-man front, kind of shook some things up, brought pressure from all over, and really kind of beat up the Arizona State offensive line. They had a couple guys go down with injuries. We don't know how serious that is. We'll hear from Kenny Dillingham at some point tomorrow. We'll have his comments for you for free over at jeanspage.com. But it's interesting. They didn't run the football well. Other than Levitt just kind of tucking and running on a couple plays, they really struggled to run the football against that front. Now, we're going to play a lot of 3-down linemen against them, and maybe that opens some things up. You know, we'll see. Or perhaps maybe we do some opponent-specific situational type alignment. We'll see. Don't know. But, Jordan Tyson, obviously, is a dude. He's an NFL guy. And you would think, well, we'll just put Kelly Jones on him. Well, they move him around a lot. They put him some in the slot to get him paired up with a safety, and he gashed them on one particular play where they had him paired with a safety. And then later in the ball game, he makes a great play on a corner route in the end zone, a sliding grab over the shoulder. It's phenomenal. But defensively, I wasn't overly impressed. And I wasn't overly impressed with their defense last year. I think a lot of things kind of boiled down to us. They did lose a couple players from that group, and everybody's like, oh, there's all these starters back. Listen, I understand when you're playing an FCS team, you're already not engaged. And then all of a sudden, this team gets on the field. It's got some transfers from the Division I level. And then all of a sudden, they're thinking, hey, we're just as good as you. And they run an exotic defense. And so maybe you're not as engaged as you should be. I expect that we'll get their best shot. But what's one of the things that's interesting, too, is like the punt average and the kickoff average. There's something to be said for that thinner desert air. And I think that could prove to be a factor in our ball game because I think this is pretty much a toss-up game. I saw that the line, I think, opened at 10, and it's like down to like 6.5. And I see some other people out there that have shared some other lines with me. They're a little bit all over the place. But this is going, I think, be a one-score game, so I think special teams is going to matter. And it was kind of a wild night in special teams, too. Northern Arizona nearly broke a kickoff return for a touchdown. Arizona State had a fake punt like in the first quarter when they were up 7-0 to extend the drive that led to their second touchdown. They had a punt return that was about to go to the house and the guy just kind of tripped over the 50-yard line. And so special teams was a factor in this ball game. And their kicker missed a 57-yarder, and it wasn't close. I mean, like you watch it, and it's like, oh, it wasn't close. It wasn't close. It was wide, and it was short. He did make another one, but he kind of snuck it inside the right upright. And so those are some things that we'll watch. And Kenny Dillingham meets with the media periodically throughout the week. We will do our best to keep you apprised of what he's had to say. And certainly about these injuries, they have a handful of them. They had defensive lineman Zach Swanson did not play. He had a broken foot back in the spring. He may play this week. Tight end A.J. La didn't play this week. He may play this week. But Jalen Moss, wide receiver, had a lower extremity injury. We don't know if it's a foot or an ankle in the second quarter. He did not return to the game. That's something we'll look for. Offensive lineman Max Ihenchar, I'm saying it wrong, I know, but he was banged up in the game. Defensive lineman Woodley was banged up in the game. Coleman, an offensive lineman, was banged up. Tight end Shaman Mataire. Has a lingering calf issue. So this is kind of a beat-up football team after an FCS game. And it seems like it always works that way, right? That's the thing. You just want to win the game and get out of there healthy. They won the game, but they got a little bit beat up. So I'm eager to see what Dillingham will have to say about an injury report. I'm sure they'll be somewhat cautious. And unless somebody is out for the year, they'll say, well, we're just trying to see how they respond to treatment this week, and we'll let you know as we get closer. But this is a team that's got a quarterback that can hurt you. It reminds me a little bit of Bo Nix, to be quite honest with you. It really does, because of the fact it's so difficult to get him on the ground. And I think having played Southern Miss with Braylon Braxton, it gives you a chance a little bit to deal with a running quarterback. But let me tell you this. Levitt would beat Braxton in the foot race handily. This is a very explosive runner. And when you vacate the middle of the field and you can't get him on the ground, he's going to gash you. So, again, we'll talk a ton about Arizona State. Between now and Saturday, we hope that you're making plans to be with us at Davis Wade Stadium because of the fact it's a lot of cool things are happening. But more importantly, it's not just about the entertainment value in the stands. It's about the product of the team on the field. We've got a chance to win a big ball game and upset a top 10 team and really kind of have like that marquee win for Jeff Lebby. And so we're going to need you here to help us do that. So please make plans to be here this weekend. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all of my sports titles. And, of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and The Dude, which I will be showcasing at the Mississippi Book Festival in September, the morning of the Alcorn State game. So I guess we're, a couple weeks away from that? Yeah, a couple weeks away. And that'll be a good time. So come out to the festival, or if you can't make it to the festival, be sure and just order online. There's also copies of When the Bottom Falls, which is the personal memoir. And I say this all the time. I get more messages. I got 3 messages just last week about the book from people around the country. Some people are in recovery. Some people have lost people that needed to be in recovery. Other people have just said, you know what, hey, Steve, I just kind of enjoy reading a redemption story And I appreciate that feedback. I really do. And I've had some very interesting dialogue with some people because of that book, and I'm very grateful that I wrote it. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. My lovely wife, Dana, will take care of that. Matter of fact, she's got a guy in there tonight that said I covered him as a recruit about 20 years ago. He didn't listen to the show, doesn't subscribe to the website. He walks in, sees our picture, and says, "Hey, is that Steve?" He's like, "Yeah, it's my husband." I said, "Oh, well, he covered me when I was a recruit, you know, some 18, 19 years ago." And it's good to be known for that sort of stuff. It truly is. But again, I'm excited about everything that is to come at the spa. Dial 662-268-7601. I think she's had 16 today on a Sunday, on a lazy Labor Day Sunday, about 16 floaters today. You could be next if you need perhaps a mental reset or you deal with chronic pain or anxiety. We may be able to help you. We've helped many others. And maybe that's you. Maybe you just need a break, right? Maybe you need a girl's night or a date night with your significant other. This is a great way to do it. And if you don't think floating may be for you, but you know somebody else who may benefit, you can buy gift cards. Yeah, you can. She can set that up for you, no problem at all. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. Just a few days remain, our greatest deal of the year. 75% off our kickoff special enables you to have full access to all the content that we provide at Jeans Page and throughout the 247 Sports Network. So when we get ready to play Arizona State this week, you want to go dip over to their message boards and see what they're saying and what perhaps their insiders are saying. You have the ability to do that. So it's not just us, even though we think we are an incredible value. We do over 300 stories about Mississippi State every single month. We do. But we think that's enough. But if you need an added bonus, you get the ability to go over and read other people's message boards. And there's a lot of fun in doing that when a team that you don't like loses and you get to go over there and kind of see their fans grovel. And I would encourage you, if you hadn't already done so, go follow Message Board Geniuses on Twitter. And let me tell you why. It's because there are a lot of things that happen on our message boards that you guys think are unique to us. They're not. All message boards, in many respects, are the same in that respect. When things aren't going well, people make very ridiculous commentary. So be sure and check that out. That's it for today. I hope that you're proud of me getting this show up. But I was so happy to win and so eager to get this out there. And plus, we got media availability tomorrow. Jeff Lebby, of course, around 11 o'clock. And so it's a full day for us tomorrow. But I also wanted to get this out there for those of you that are celebrating Labor Day holiday. Had a couple people hit me up, former Mississippi State athletes, and said, "Hey, we're off tomorrow. Any chance we get the show early?" Well, this is my gift to you. You're going to have it by 10 p.m. on Sunday night. So you've got all night and then all day tomorrow. Matter of fact, you can listen to it two or three times if you so desire. That's the Boneyard. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.